Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 64. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Frank Cordaro, an outspoken former priest and now an internet activist practicing radical acts of mercy with the Catholic Worker in Des Moines, Iowa, and protesting war and militarism at Offutt Air Force Base near Omaha and elsewhere. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the interview. The Catholic Worker movement was founded by Dorothy Day. In Des Moines, Iowa, the Catholic Worker operates the Bishop Dingman House to feed hungry people 5 days a week. It also offers showers, free clothing, a phone, canned goods and toiletries, and free groceries. They've operated the Free Food Store for donated produce for more than 20 years. They also run the Rachel Corrie Project to help bring peace to Palestine. Rachel Corrie was killed by a bulldozer while trying to prevent the destruction of Palestinian property to make room for more illegal Israeli settlements. Frank and the other members of the Catholic Worker and the peace movement protest war and militarism at Offutt Air Force Base near Omaha and elsewhere. A most serendipitous, touching moment during this conversation occurs when a jailed protester calls Frank unannounced for a bit of encouragement. The Phil Berrigan House, an autonomous sister house with the Catholic Worker Movement, hosts a peace and justice library and provides meeting space. They currently host a weekly lectionary Bible study, a weekly Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and the monthly meeting of Veterans for Peace. They're open to host other related peace and justice events and organizational meetings. The Des Moines Catholic Worker relies completely on the generosity of supporters for the funds and materials needed for the hospitality they offer. They strive to be good stewards of the resources that come their way. Because they are personalists, they do not seek nonprofit charitable status from the IRS. They accept no government money and are not financially supported by any foundation or denomination. Instead, individuals, groups, and individual churches donate money, food, and other supplies. If this all sounds a bit remote from simple living, remember, the first of five life standards of living more with less is do justice. And another is nurture people. It's so much more than our personal happiness, which some simple living gurus seem to preach. It's my pleasure to speak to Frank Cordaro, an internet activist like me. And Frank is a part of the Des Moines Catholic Worker, and he is involved in a number of really interesting social justice projects. So, welcome, Frank, and if you would please start by telling us, what is the World Food Prize, and why would you need an alternative World Food Prize?
Well, it's going to take some unpackaging. Basically, though, the script that I'm going by in the narrative is that we are in trouble as a planet, we meaning the human race, and things are not in balance. And the largest human effort on the planet, probably next to war, is growing food. And on this planet right now, the corporates are taking it over. They have already taken over agriculture in Iowa. Right now, we have soybeans and corn being grown here. 85% of everything we grow in this state does not feed a human being. It feeds cattle and pigs. 85% of everything we eat in this agricultural state comes from outside our borders, because the old divide between city and country is pretty much non-existent in this country of the U.S. And they have a World Food Prize in Iowa, not to convince Iowans of the benefits of industrial agriculture. Hell, that's done. We already sold our souls. We have poisoned our water. Our soil is dead. And we're feeding ourselves all types of stuff that are making us a very weak species in so many ways. So that's happening here in Iowa. They call it the World Food Prize. Now, I'm not making this up. They announce the winner every year in Washington, D.C., at the State Department. It's that important to national policies and political shenanigans of the empire. And when they do give the award, our own state house, the People's House, is rented by the prize, rent paid by the state legislatures. So this is a big feather in our hat, and it's all about making what they have done to agriculture in Iowa, implanting it everywhere in the world, all of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. It's a very, very precarious thing we're doing, pushing the world our type of agriculture, which is just war by any other name, because that's where a lot of the impetus for industrial agriculture post-World War II has come from. Are you following me there, brother?
I am, and having spent 35 years in Iowa, you know, I know about St. Norm, you know, Norman Borlaug, who was the inventor of the Green Revolution, who spread, you know, American-type agriculture, you know, to India and Mexico and other places in the world, and now has left a, you know, a great debt in those countries because of the need now for more inputs like pesticides and herbicides. Am I on track with you?
Yeah. It's that whole crowd, and it's the corporates. It's the same people who have taken over Wall Street, people and systems, and own our governments and own our churches. I mean, we're really behind the eight ball as Americans in this country because we live under the American bubble. We are 5% of the world's population, and we are afforded a perspective of the world that is so self-centered, that is so self-consumed, that is so blind to our own faults, that we are the most dangerous people on the planet. Yeah. No doubt about it. And we don't see it. That is our problem. In America, the biggest problem we have is the sin of denial. And I've come to the conclusion fast and furious here that the only unforgivable sin is the sin of denial, because the Jesus I believe in and the God he follows is all forgiving. But if we deny that we're doing what we're doing, how the hell are we going to be forgiven? It's a crazy world we live in. I'm sorry, that's my, that's my girlfriend from jail. She doesn't supposed to call till 5 o'clock. I really am sorry. Jessica, Hammer of Justice, I have to answer it. Just give me a moment. Because if she's calling, it's... She's at the Sarpy County Jail. She did a great act for peace December 27th. I'm sorry about this. Yo, Jess.
Hey, are you in a meeting or something?
I'm being interviewed by somebody on my phone, but... I needed
okay,
to listen. No. Oh, it's not an emergency? Fine enough. Call me back.
Nope.
Give me an hour. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. So I'm so sorry. Jessica. You know, I answered that.
She was doing the civil disobedience.
Yes. This December 27th, she took a hammer and a baseball bat to two windows and a door at Northrop Grumman facility in Bellevue, Nebraska, which is like a mile away from the Offutt Air Force Base, where the Strategic Air Command is, Nuclear Command is, and we've been protesting there for years. And this company has contracts with Stratcom for their mission in space. And Jess was making the connection of their criminal activity along with what's going on at the base by hammering two of their big windows and a door window of this facility on an evening of December 27th. She's been in jail ever since. She's facing two felonies, up to 22 years collectively. One of them is burglary. I don't know how they got that. She's doing this because she wants to shed light on the criminal activity of Northrop Grumman and Stratcom. Now, this is one of these companies that have been around since World War II. I mean, they have made their lives on the military-industrial complex, and there's no more bloated, fraudulent crowd than these arms dealers. I mean, the Pope has been very clear about this. Well, these guys are inbred, corporate, in bed, you name it. Their most recent shenanigans is that they got a contract from the United States government for $55 billion to make a new long-range strategic bomber. Just what we need. Huh? You see, it's a fraudulent crowd. Their CEO makes $20 million a year. Now, our question to this company and to our fellow citizens is, you know, in a world, in a country that is obsessive with property, how many months does Jessica Resnicek have to be in jail for breaking two windows and a door for a company that's been bilking us for billions, doing war crimes along with our empire, and is has these computer geeks in space controlling the planet. And their CEO gets $20 million, and no one goes to jail in their company. Now, that's really, really crazy. That's why people do that.
I can really empathize with what you're saying, Frank. I, too, have carried a sign in front of Offutt Base down near Omaha. And I witnessed, you know, two nuns cross the line. You know, all they did was trespass. And, of course, they were immediately scooped up and sent off to jail for crossing the line and trespassing onto Offutt. So,
You do have to work at it. But once you become a regular, like I've last eight times I've crossed the line at Offutt in my 30-year career, I've gotten six-month jail sentences. So that's like 4 years of jail time for eight trespass charges at Offutt. And that's just par for the course and what we come to expect and what we all be willing to do, because we really have to show the light to these great hypocrisies that are facing us in this country.
Well, Frank, that was a really inspiring sidelight, serendipitous moment. Well, first of all, I would like to hear a little bit more about what we talked about originally. What is the Alternative World Food Prize?
Oh, well, the Alternative World Food Prize, is a group of folks that we've learned about as we were confronting the World Food Prize, saying, like, God, there must be an alternative, and it's the World Sovereignty Prize. Put on by a number of progressive national, international food justice people. They've been coming the last couple of years to have their prize give it at the same time, on the same week, as the World Food Prize is given here in Des Moines. So it's a counter prize of a much smaller, and they're not backed by the billionaires and don't buy the state. It's a great group of people. It's called the World Sovereignty Prize. Well worth looking into. I'd recommend to folks just Google Occupy the World Food Prize. We have our own webpage, and on that webpage, you can read the reports from the last 4 years of the stuff we've done. So a lot of good stuff on that webpage. Occupy the World Food Prize.
I would assume that the winners of the Alternative World Food Prize are not corporations.
Oh, no. No. No, no. They're indigenous people, often people from, well, let's see. We've had people from Haiti, Colombia. We've had people from African-American farmers. We've had people working for farm workers and unions, that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm just remembering some of the prior, they even had farmers from Palestine. So, you know, people like that who are struggling against the system to reclaim sovereignty. Food sovereignty is what all people need. And that's a whole different thing than the corporate industrial agriculture gives you, because that just gives you a pyramid of an economic system that's like Pharaoh. And that's Egyptian, and he's not a nice guy.
Just in case you didn't quite catch what Frank said, he said Pharaoh, the Pharaoh. Yes.
That was the first tyrant that our biblical people had to deal with. Heads up.
Well, let's move on to how do you get your inspiration to continue with your social justice work? I assume a lot of it comes because you're a part of the Catholic worker movement in Des Moines.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, you asked earlier before we got on the air if I belong to a religious order or anything, but the Catholic Worker is a movement that I just feel I can stay a Catholic and have integrity. That's my story, because I'm an ex-priest, so I have a lot invested in the Roman Catholic Church. I just have a real difficult time living within the confines of its institutions right now as it is being lived out in this country. So the Worker affords me a place to continue to be a Catholic, which I want to be, and yet at the same time have some integrity with my read of the Scriptures and the world we're living in. And I am so grateful to Dorothy Day and Peter Morin, and the others who have come into this movement over the last 83 years, because they have created a movement that, if you follow its dictates reasonably, as most people can, and it's available to anybody, then you will find yourself living a life of great integrity despite the hypocrisy in the craziness we call America today. And the norm is mental illness. It's everywhere. It's systemic and structural. So the antidote, it's only an antidote, is to do the works of mercy. Put yourself in a space that where humanity can break through, and you intentionally and willfully see Christ in each person you serve. One of the favorite sayings that Peter Morin likes says, we got to build a world where it's easier to be good, you know? So I see people my age, I talk to them who have regular jobs, blah, 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 and I say, well, how often do you volunteer? How often do you serve a bowl of soup? And they say, well, I can do it once a month, 3 months, you know, they say, we have to fill our schedule, it's real difficult. And I'm going like, you know, all I do is roll out of bed, and I have to do that. I mean, I do the works of mercy. It's just, it's built in. We need to restructure our lives where we built in do good. And the needs, the basic needs of people are so dominant that if you open a shelter pretty much anywhere, you'll find hungry people. You'll find people who need the basics, who just need a safe place. Begin there. That's where the world needs to be mended. But the people, through Works for Mercy, that's one of the tenets of the Catholic Worker. It's not the only one, of course. The other great thing about the Catholic Worker is Dorothy Day and Peter Moyne's vision to be pacifist in the Catholic Church in the 1930s. Now, all I can tell you is there were no pacifists in the Catholic Church in the United States in the 1930s. None. But despite that, they proclaimed that they were and that they were Catholic. And the best thing we can say about the church is they didn't kick them out. The worst thing we can say is the church has yet to follow them. That's kind of ironic because just when the Pope was here, Francis was in the United States. I know you're aware, or maybe not, that when he went to Congress, he only mentioned four Americans. Two of them, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King. 100 years apart from those two guys, but clearly they were all about slavery and civil rights and racism. Both of them martyred in this country. Lincoln led a civil war. More people died in the Civil War than both World War I and World War II in America for Americans. And Martin Luther King died to try to rectify something that Lincoln tried to put a fix to in war, and that was 100 years to separate them. So that's all going on. And then he names two obscure American Catholics from this century who are, in my world, part of the anti-Vietnam War crowd, Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton. That's it. And he says, now, these are people you should try to follow. Wow! I don't know about you, but in my world, it's like winning a Catholic lottery. It validates, at least for me, what the last 40 years of my life have been about. Because I really believe that Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton, you know, Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton were close friends to the Berrigan brothers. They were all part of that Catholic left that during the Vietnam War broke into draft boards and burnt draft board, draft files. That's the people they hanged out with, Dorothy and Thomas Merton. And I just think that what we're doing here is the right thing.
Yeah. I assume, Frank, that since this is a program about simple living or voluntary simplicity, that would also be pertinent to the Catholic Worker and also the work of St. Francis.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing here. Again, how we play that out is we live on the beg. Everyone gets room and board. People have to take care of their own medical and financial stuff. People have part-time jobs, different views, but we all chime in on the direct services that we do 5 days a week with an open house, feeding folks, 50 to 100 folks show up. And we do that work and we rely on, no one gets paid for it. So the simplicity of our lives and is just doing the domestic work for the poor. And it has its own validity. The simpler you can live, as you well know, then others can live simply. That's just obvious. Simply can live. I mean, it's just a the planet demands it. So Works of Mercy allow that. The other thing the Catholic Workers are very well known for in this generation, the one behind me, the younger ones, is a lot of folks are going back to the land, trying to live subsistent living, growing food and fruits and cattle or animal breeding and permaculture. Oh, that's really really fluid in the Catholic Worker movement in the Midwest. We got people and families with kids, people trying to start living on the land again. That's just a great thing to be doing. And that's all about, of course, back to simple living. It's all about breaking down our human organizations, as Peter Moyne, in a personalist position, would say, to a human scale. And anything that does that is emblematic of the Catholic worker spirit, and we find affinity to it.
Well, thank you for that inspiring word, Frank. I'd like to talk a little bit more now about your internet activism. Besides having a website, which is DM, that's for Des Moines, dmcatholicworker.org, you also have a number of newsletters. And I get several emails from you a day calling attention to a whole variety of things, like the World Food Prize, like the Dingman Lectures in Des Moines, which is named after a bishop, an annual lecture about peace and justice, a whole variety of topics, for which I thank you. But just flesh that out a little bit more about your
work.
Well,
I'm 65. I mean, you're saying I've got this, internet ministry, or I'm a whiz at it. All I know how to do is post some things, and I've been collecting these email lists. Since 10 years ago, after the National Catholic Worker Gathering that we hosted here for our 30th, I collected all the emails and started doing an email listserv on news on the Catholic Worker. And it's just grown to a list. The Catholic Worker list is like about 800 right now. And I just try to put on that that posting everything that has to do with Dorothy Day or the Catholic Worker, with a bias on the resistance stuff and a lot of stuff from Iowa, because we're doing a lot of the stuff that I'm aware of, and I may not be aware of others. But I do get clippings and reports and stuff. People send me links to their newsletters, so it's a interesting uptake on people who are interested in the Catholic Worker. Now, I tell everybody, you don't have to read everything I send out. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. I don't even read everything I send out. Use the subject line as a headline. If you're interested, open it. If not, delete. So you may get, you scare people off. I give you two or three a day, but all you have to do is delete. The high headline will tell you whether it's going to be of any interest or not, I'm sure. Well, at least that's the attempt or intention.
Well, thank you very much for your work, Frank. Any final words you'd like to share?
Well, just that... I just think that we need to start getting serious about our faith. Those of us who want to continue to follow it, and we need to be real about it. And in this country, that I think that means less creedal stuff and more following the radical Jesus with the poor and justice, and putting our lives on the line. I think that's what it's about.
You've been listening to my conversation with anti-war protester, internet activist, and practitioner of radical mercy with the Catholic Worker in Des Moines, Frank Cordaro. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click in window number 3. I had the pleasure of speaking recently at the Paso Robles, California Peace Circle. It's a touching story. The Paso Robles Peace Circle was founded about a year ago by World War II U.S. bomber pilot about to turn 99 and by a survivor of the Allied bombing of Dresden at the end of World War II, then age 5. Well, Dick and Hart have become fast friends and meet every week. The larger circle meets once a month to pursue inner peace and then to promote peace resolutely in the wider community. Read about that experience and see photos of the founders in a recent Simple Living Works blog and in my online travel journal. Links are given in the show notes. After my presentation, Lynn wrote to me saying, "Hey, Gerald and Rita, you are very quick at posting your blogs about after meetings. I read it, posted a thank you to you at the blog, and really did enjoy the discussion. Thanks for your being such a great living example." And thank to you, Len. You can produce your own customized do-it-yourself version of Who Has Risen from the Dead Anyway for Lent and Easter. You're welcome to assemble and copy a version and meet your local needs. See the show notes for tips to create, produce, distribute, and promote it. Well, time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works and would like more basic information, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview Backup and choose the episode you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply, that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. It's a balance of personal responsibility and advocacy for just public policy. It's more than just personal happiness, though that's quite important. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can live.